It's always a privilege to be able to come up and speak with you guys. It is. It's always nerve-wracking, but in the end, I love it, and I love the pain of the stress going through it. I'm certainly grateful for this. Visitors, we are so blessed to have you guys here. It is always such a wonderful privilege to see new faces, and I've got some friends from high school here, Will and Hannah, and I hope at the end you'll get a chance to meet them. They're really great people and really trying to do God's will. If you want, let's be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. And it says, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Now, the reason I bring this up is because I actually really struggle putting this sermon together. Because I look at all the really strong men and women here in our church, and so many of you are such strong Bible studiers, and you know your Bible so well. And I don't know my Bible that well, and I came with the impression, you know, I really want to give a Ken Holiday sermon today. But I don't have the experience, nor have I put in the time to study. And while I hope one day I'll get there, the reason I bring this up is because I started looking, what is my role? What is my role here in this congregation? And the more I thought about it, the more I discussed it with other people, it's, well, I'm an encourager. So I think I preface my last sermon the same way, but there may not be anything new I'm going to tell you guys. But I hope that when you leave here, you will be encouraged and emboldened and ready to fight the good fight. Now, before we actually go into what I really want to talk about, there is something, a little sidebar I want to make about this statement, something that hit me when I read this. In verse 18, it says, "But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." God himself has placed you here. He saw you, and he saw that you have a place in his kingdom. So take that. Take that with a great deal of humility, that God saw you and saw you with value. So as we go through the study, take that with you. If you want to be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is where our main study is going to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But before we go into the passage, I want to share a dream with you guys. And this was actually a dream I had. I didn't make this up for the sermon. And I'll preface this saying, careful when you start interpreting dreams, because dreams, you know, well, they're dreams. But as I share this, I hope you will see the imagery that I saw in this dream. So, my dream. I opened my eyes, and there before me was a mighty cliff. And I longed to reach the top of this cliff. So I walked up towards it, and there was a rope hanging from it, already fastened from the top. So I took this rope and I tied it around myself and I began to climb and climb and climb with no fear of falling. And so I reached the top. And when I looked around me, I saw the surface of the cliff was covered in ice as clear as crystal. And the rocks shone with beautiful colors of reds and purples, blues and oranges. And I looked up and there was a vast body of water, incapable of being crossed. And on the horizon was a light so bright that at the time I could only give credit to God. This is God's glory. And this light shone in the waters and revealed flecks of color sparkling all throughout it. I was in awe. I was amazed. But then I looked down and I looked at myself. And I was wearing a t-shirt and shorts, not fit for the icy climate that I was enduring. I had no bag, supplies, no tools. And my shoes, they were loafers. You can't walk on ice in loafers. So I began to slip and fall and stumble. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get my balance, so I fell. I fell and fell and fell into a dark pool of brooding water, in which scarlet cloth encompassed me and shrouded me in darkness. Now there, I hope you could see the imagery that I'm talking about. And there are several points I could bring out about this dream that directly relate to our walk in our life with God. And I could talk about how the clothes I was wearing, how I was unequipped. And we could turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, and how it tells us to put on the full body of Christ, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted for readiness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword that is the word of God. But I don't want to talk about that. I could talk about the rope hanging from the cliff, how it ensured my safe journey up that cliff. We could look at Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus you were once far away, have now been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." How Christ is our rope, how he ensures our journey up to heaven. And that's getting closer, but that's still not what I want to talk about. I could talk about the vast body of water, impossible to cross. And we could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, which we have. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.' It is by God's grace that we overcome all obstacles, including our own obstacles." And that's a little closer to what I want to talk about. But what I really want to talk about is that brooding pit of water, the scarlet cloth that encompassed me in darkness. Because it was there in that dream that I had a choice. Either I could either be overcome by the darkness, or I could choose to escape it. A couple weeks back, Phil Robertson came to us, and he, for those visitors, not Phil Robertson with the beard, he's a preacher out in Florida, and he gave us a really good set of lessons about raising the spiritual bar. And so as a congregation, we set some bars. And as individuals, we set some spiritual bars. And some of them were getting more into the Word, getting in depth, and doing some Bible studies. And a lot of them were more application goals. So like patience and zeal. But the one that really struck out to me is, because it's something I really struggle with, is finding joy. Finding joy in your everyday walk. And so I thought about this. Why? Why do we struggle with this so much? Why do we have such a hard time being joyful? And so I thought and I pondered and I thought, forgiveness. Because we're told to forgive our neighbor, but do we forgive ourselves? We can look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And likewise in Mark 11, verse 25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." As Christians, we understand that forgiveness is such an integral part of who we are. It's because without forgiveness, there is no hope. And it is because of God's great mercy, his great love for us, that he is willing to forgive us. But how come? How come we hold on to our sins? Isaiah 1:18 reads, "Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." God, who is so willing to forgive us, who has his hand outstretched with the blood of Christ, ready to wash our sins away, but we hold on to our scarlet clothes and say no. We hide our hands that are stained with blood and we say no. Why? Why do we punish ourselves when God, who is perfect, who has every right to destroy us, says, "I am willing to forgive you"? Going to, and likewise in my dream, it is, I was shrouded in that scarlet cloth, and I had that choice to either remain in that darkness, in self-loathing, to hold myself back, or I could let it go. Going to our scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 8, this is Paul speaking about the thorn in his side. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm not going to take credit for this this point. Julie sent me a writing by Gary Henry and that talked about this. And he quoted a man by William Tyndale. And this man said, Christ is never strong in us until we are weak. As our strength diminishes, the strength of Christ grows in us. When we are entirely emptied of our own strength, then we are full of Christ's strength. As much as we retain of our own, we lack of Christ. The title of that article was, Are We Willing to Be Weak? So I pose that question to you. Are you willing to be weak? To put yourself aside, to let Christ reign in you? Because the truth is, are we truly weak because we try to be strong? We see all throughout Scripture of how men in the Bible have tried to help God out, and it only turns bad. We can look at Abraham, who told his wife to pretend that she was his sister. That didn't work out well. So we see these examples where we try to help God, and God doesn't need our help, but we need God. And so we have to put ourselves aside. We have to get out of the picture so that God may reign in us. I was talking with a friend the other day. And she's been going through some hard times. And I told her flat out that every day is a battle. Living life is difficult. But you have to take baby steps. With each step, with each victory over that day, you rejoice. You thank the Lord for the strength that you were able to overcome that day. And then maybe a day time, maybe years, you'll look back and say, thank you for my weaknesses. It's because of that that you have refined me. You've put me through your refiner's fire. And I am more willing to serve you. I'm a better Christian for you. Thank the Lord for your weaknesses. And likewise, if you can't forgive yourself, then you can't climb that cliff. If you recall the last part of my dream, I was being shrouded in darkness by the scarlet cloth. But it didn't end there. My dream had a happy ending. So I was being strangled by darkness. And in this darkness, I had a choice, like I said. I could self-wallow in pity and misery. But I didn't. I resolved in my heart, I will see that light again. And the scarlet cloth fell away. And I arose out of the water. And I looked up to the cliff and said, I will climb you again. And to my left appeared a building. So I walked in it. And do you know what I found inside of it? You. All of you. My family in Christ. I am so blessed to have you guys as my family. And we are so blessed to have Christ as our family. That no matter where we go, we have family. You guys strengthen me when I am weak. And I am so grateful for all of your willingness to help me, to help each other, to help us grow. I'm going to go a little off script here. I would like to offer a prayer. So if you'll please pray with me. Lord, blessed be your holy name. For you are wisdom, you are truth, you are love, and you are mercy. Lord, we know that we are weak, yet so many times we try to be strong. And yet, Lord, help us to understand that in our weakness, you reign. That you are in us. Help us to put aside ourselves, to realize that you are our King, you are our Father, and that you love us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, and help us to forgive ourselves. So often we hold ourselves to we hold ourselves to destruction. We condemn ourselves, Lord, when you haven't. Because your Son came to forgive and not to condemn. Blessed be your name, Lord. And Lord, as we go throughout our walk in life, help us to remember what your Son said. In Matthew 11, verse 30, he said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And he said before that, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the word. And Lord, as we go through our lives, help us to never forget the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So whether that yoke be that you need to take on baptism to be a part of Christ, or that yoke is you need the prayers of the congregation because you've been falling away and you need the strength of God, you need the strength of our prayers. We are a family and we are here for each other. You don't have to walk in this world alone. So if there's anything we can do for you, come now as we stand and as we sing.